Looking for the best place to buy tickets for any of your favorite teams or sporting events? We've got the spot. Our partner, StubHub, has been the leading ticket marketplace in the world for over 20 years, providing a 100% guarantee with every order. From a worldwide selection of live events, the widest choice of tickets and industry-leading partnerships, StubHub has what you need to purchase with confidence. StubHub, an official partner of The Athletic.
Welcome to the Audible, presented by Trader Joe's. I'm Stuart Mandel, joined as always by Bruce Feldman. Bruce, we're going to do a little retro edition here this week. We're going to do something we did all of last season, actually. Let's pick some games.
All right. That was not the retro I was thinking you were going to do, Stu. But yes, it feels, as we've said before, more and more into the groove of a college football fall Saturday. And I don't know. Is Clemson Miami, does it feel even bigger than last week's Georgia Auburn game did?
Yeah, this one feels, not to, diminish Georgia Auburn, but I think the fact that it's De'Ara King against Trevor Lawrence, it's the novelty of Miami as a top 10 team. Do you know this is the first time in 4 years that Clemson has played in a top 10 versus top 10 regular season game?
That is not a Clemson fault. That's an ACC fault.
That is. So. Well, it didn't really dawn on me till this week, but the ACC has four of the top eight teams in the AP poll right now. The ACC went from being the joke of all conferences last year, Clemson and nobody else, to, and granted, adding Notre Dame is a part of this, four of the top eight teams. So, yeah, this is a big one. I think next week, Alabama-Georgia will be the one that feels like probably like an LSU-Alabama game in most years. But this whole lineup is good. So we picked four games. I think these are all four very interesting games for very different reasons. So why don't we start with the noon ESPN game. Number four, Florida, is headed to number 21, Texas A&M. The Gators, 6.5-point favorites. I think we will just say who we're picking to win and who we're picking to cover. I don't think we need exact scores here.
By the way, though, there is one weird fun fact about this game that I don't think anybody knew until this week, which is Kyle Trask was named after Kyle Field.
Nobody knew that, right? Not even A&M people.
Well, I don't know why A&M people would know it, because necessarily, unless you went to school with his parents or something, I don't know why. But it's like, I'm surprised. I just don't know why Florida fans would probably know it either, because it's just, it's such a random seemingly thing. But we'll see. So last week we talked about A&M and Jimbo Fisher against Alabama. This is obviously a home game for the Aggies, but it's also a back-to-back after Alabama game. How much of a chance do you give Jimbo's guys of upsetting the Gators?
Only if we see something dramatically different from them than we did the first 2 weeks. I don't know what you're going to hang your hat on here. Now, I will say, for all the Florida hype, their defense has definitely proven vulnerable through the first two games. I just don't know that A&M can exploit that. What do you think?
Look, A&M has some pretty good young skill guys to go with Kellen Mond. Kellen Mond's played in a lot of big games. Having said that, I am still picking Florida to come out of the SEC East, but this is kind of a funky spot for them a little bit, just in that they play LSU next week, and I'm not saying LSU on one hand is the defending champs, but it is a different LSU team. They're 1-1. It's not like LSU comes in there breathing fire, so it's like everyone circled that game. So I don't think they're going to take A&M for granted, but again, I think this will be a game into the fourth quarter. I feel like A&M will hang around for a lot longer than they did last week. I'm not ready to go more than that, though.
So does that mean you've got A&M covering?
What is the spread you have at this point for them?
6.5.
6.5 is not a lot. No, that if it was 16, yeah, then I'd feel good. But 6.5, it's not even a touchdown. So I think, if you had told me the spread was 11 points, given you know, what I think of Florida and how kind of underwhelming A&M has been. I mean, they had their hands full with an awful Vanderbilt squad in the opener. So, yeah, I guess it's home, but it's not a normal home environment this year with a pandemic. So, no, I'm going to go with the Gators a little more comfortably than that to pull away in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, I'm pretty much on the same line of thinking. I think Florida pulls away and wins by about 10. But I do think that that spread tells you that Vegas is not quite as high on the Gators yet as you and many of the AP voters. Florida is number 10 in Jeff Sagarin's ratings. He has A&M
Hey, question as you're pouring through this. Why do you care about Jeff Sagarin's ratings?
Because they kind of mirror the Vegas ratings. Well, maybe not in this case. Wow. He's A&M 56th. Forget the Sagarin thing.
But let's keep that in the podcast, because I always, whenever I hear something, it's almost like I've heard it for so long, you just kind of take it as, not as gospel, but you kind of accept it. And I'm like, I don't know why I put much stock in that.
Well, I think at this point, Sagarin probably is for the old timers like me. I think the more people would at this point cite S&P, Bill Connolly's S&P rankings for their power rankings. But clearly Vegas did not base this point spread off of Sagarin's ratings. If they did, it would be closer to Florida by like 13 points.
Okay.
All right. The Red River Showdown. Is that what we're calling it these days?
I guess. We're calling it a game between one team that's not ranked and one team that shouldn't be. So
I know. How is Texas ranked? Texas is 2-1 and ranked number 22. TCU is just beat them. They're 1-1, I believe. Not ranked. It just come on, AP voters, do better.
By the way, here's my issue with the with your Sagarin ratings as I'm looking at it now. Basically, half their top 10, half their top whatever, top 13, hasn't even played a game.
Yeah, well, you know,
their number one team is Ohio State. Their number five team is Penn State. Their number eight team is Wisconsin. What are you basing that on?
I actually wouldn't put much credence in these power rankings this early. Small sample size. They're including those teams. There is a preseason component to these power rankings that a team is not going to shed after two games.
Washington is number 15. Washington, by the way, which lost its two of its like four best defensive players, or certainly its best defensive linemen, and they have to replace a quarterback. They have an unknown offensive coordinator. I'm like, what are we doing? You know, like, I'm not saying they won't be any good, but half the top 10, I mean, I'm looking at this now. Minnesota's 20, USC 18, Iowa 17, Washington 15, Michigan 13, Oregon 12. Then you go into the Wisconsins and the other team that I mentioned. It's like, what are we doing?
Fair enough. I will never cite Jeff Sagarin again. Okay. OU Texas is the Sooners are 2-point favorites. I don't think you would have imagined it would be that close a couple weeks ago. They rank dead last in the Big 12 in defense. The question, I guess, is, do you feel like this is just who OU is going to be this season, or are they going to snap out of it? And I guess you could say the same thing about Texas.
I feel like OU will get better exponentially on offense as Spencer Rattler continues to grow and get probably more of a sense of when he should run, when he shouldn't, and just kind of get a little more comfortable in the system. Their offensive line has been a real disappointment. Not having CeeDee Lamb as like kind of an all over the field problem for defenses. I mean, they still have talent, but you know, the defense has kind of been what the defense was last year. And that's, again, I feel like these two teams are similar from what they were in 2019, except OU has less firepower on offense and less of a run game because there's no Kennedy Brooks, and Jalen Hurts was a way bigger run threat than Spencer Rattler. On the other side, you have Texas, which has a new staff almost entirely, and less proven receivers for Sam Ellinger to rely on. So it's almost like who's who's gotten less worse, if that makes any sense.
I do think Oklahoma's going to improve, and in particular, there's no reason why their offensive line, based on who they have coming back, should be struggling like that, except not to throw unsubstantiated rumors out there, but Lincoln Riley said in late August that a whole position group had been wiped out by COVID, and it was either the offensive or the defensive lines, reading between the lines. So I think they'll get better. I think that when I look at the last two games, what was the commonality in terms of torching that defense? Deuce Vaughn for K-State and Breece Hall for Iowa State. One of these days, Bijan Robinson might just go off, right? The Texas five-star freshman who right now is just kind of working his way into the college game. But short of that, that has been Texas's problem. They're too one-dimensional. So for that reason, I think Oklahoma gets back on track this week. I do think it'll be a shootout, but Oklahoma wins and covers the two-point spread.
Yeah, I'm with you. In part because I just don't see Lincoln Riley losing three games in a row in the Big 12. I just don't see it. I feel like as bad as their record is, I watched a lot of the last two Texas games, and I just have less faith in them. But there is an element of both teams, whereas we've heard Oklahoma, you know, talk about these issues that they have to get sorted out, and they keep kind of happening. But I feel like, you know, Sam Ehlinger was, you know, basically, you know, challenged the team, including himself. And I was reading that they felt like they had a great practice on Sunday, but I was like, I feel like we've been here before too, a couple of times, you know? So I don't know. When in doubt, I'm going to go with Lincoln Riley not to lose three games in a row. I just think that they're good enough to win this game.
You know, one thing about doing picks is all you can really base it on is what you've seen from the team so far. But as you know, in college football, and I think it'll be especially true this year, you'll see teams just rise up and play like they haven't played all season. And that has happened a lot. If you think back through the years of the Texas OU rivalry, I mean, 2 years ago, Sam Ehlinger in Texas, that was really his breakout moment. They upset Oklahoma. They were a pretty heavy underdog. There have been years when Oklahoma won 65-13, even though they were comparable teams, and Texas ended up having a perfectly good season. So there's no predicting for weird, and I'm sure that will happen in at least one of these games we're talking about today.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Call 1-800-DIRECTV. Claim based on total games carried on sports networks. Sports availability varies by zip code and requires choice package. Terms and restrictions apply.
We've got a good one on the CBS. You know, so far the CBS SEC window has been winning the TV ratings, and I think this week is probably the best game they've had so far. Number 14 Tennessee at number 3 Georgia. Still some skepticism about the Vols. They are 12.5 point underdogs to the 12.5 point underdogs to the Bulldogs, and obviously Georgia. Pretty dominant showing last week against Auburn. How bought in are you at this point on Jeremy Pruitt's team, two games into his third season?
I'm bought in enough to feel like they're the third best team in the SEC East, which nobody was going to say that at this point last year, or at least this far into the season, you know, last year. So I'm encouraged by it. They have a really good offensive line. They are physical in the run game. Jared Guarantano has played a ton of football, and I think his experience will bode pretty well on a in a road environment, albeit it's a little different, but they still have some energy there, no doubt, when we watch the game at that stadium. So I think Tennessee will stay with them. I don't think Kirby Smart was just puffing up this week's opponent when he was talking about how Tennessee presenting more challenges than Auburn might. I think they will. I think this will be a close game. I think Georgia will win, but I think it will be closer than the number is right now.
Man, we are not, this is not a very creative podcast. We just keep coming to the same conclusions. I think that the thing that is definitely legit about Tennessee is its offensive line, which is wild considering it was by far their weakest unit when Pruitt got there. But now, and obviously adding Cade Mays, he got eligible. The Georgia transfer certainly made it even better. Our Tennessee writer, David Ubben, does the dirty work. He went back and watched all 51 running plays from the Tennessee game last week. 51 running plays and not a single one was a tackle for loss by Missouri. That's pretty impressive. Now, is Jarrett Garantano the quarterback who can – Georgia's defense is really good. Is Jarrett Garantano the quarterback that can do damage against that Georgia defense? I don't think so, but I think Tennessee's defense is good enough to keep it close. So we both have Georgia winning and Tennessee covering.
How tempted were you to pull the big upset here?
Tennessee-Georgia? No, not very tempted. If I was going to pull a big upset of those two SEC games, it would have more likely been A&M Florida. Because like I said, I think Florida's defense has been spotty. And you just never know when Kellen Mond's going to have one of his A games. And they do have a couple running backs they're very excited about. So I just think Georgia, unless Georgia just has a huge letdown after last week, I think Tennessee's gotten a lot better. I don't think they're at Georgia's level yet.
Okay, now the biggest game of the weekend, Miami at Clemson. I did a big story this week for The Athletic on Miami's much improved offensive line. We don't know quite how good they have gotten, but we know that they are way better than they were when they were third to last in the country last season in sacks allowed. They couldn't run the football particularly well, and it was a mess on offense. They had so much in that the players really struggled with it. It was a complete in disarray, and it imploded at the end of the season. Enter Rhett Lashley, the new offensive coordinator with a up-tempo, much more simplified system. Enter his new O-line coach, Garen Justice. Miami is, for the first time in a while, has a potent offense. I don't know how it's going to travel. I do think De'Eriq King is, as many of you has talked a lot about to me this week. It's like when you have a quarterback that everybody has confidence in a big game, that matters a ton. What percent chance would you give Miami for going in there and knocking off Clemson?
Better chance 10%? Than the point spread indicates. Clemson 10%? Is a 2-touchdown favorite. No, I'll give them more of a chance than that.
30%?
I'll give them 25% chance.
Okay.
I think that people haven't fully caught on to just how different Miami is. It's not a fluke. De'Eriq King is, if you watched him at Houston 2 years ago, you know what kind of player he is. I think he's even better now. He's obviously got a lot of great players around him, including one of the best tight ends in the country. Let me ask you something, though, just going back a second. You said how rare it has been for Miami to have a potent offense. I've heard it suggested that they haven't had an offense like this since Ken Dorsey was the quarterback, which was 18 years ago. I mean, Brad Kaya was a pretty good quarterback, but this is the first time since that era that they have a big time offense.
I think what's different here, Stu, is they've had some really big time skill guys over the years in that run. They've had some athletic receivers, some terrific tight ends, and they've had some good running backs. What they haven't had is a very good system to showcase. It's like been the system, which has been simplified. It's up tempo and it plays to the kind of the strengths of this team's identity. You have De'Ara King, who's the first running quarterback Miami has had in ages. So that's been different. Because I think Miami's probably had some better running backs than they have right now. I mean, they have three really good running backs, and a couple of the young guys could be super talented by the time they leave there. But so it's not necessarily that. I just think it's like a combination of the system, De'Ara King's ability to run. I mean, they have two really good tight ends in Will Mallory and Brevin Jordan. I don't think the receivers are, you know, they have a bunch of them. I don't think it's like, wow, this they haven't had that before. But I really think it's that combination of the system and the running quarterback. It just really fits for them. But again, you know, we're going to find out way more about how much better they are this week at Clemson. You know, I'm not saying that, like, that team Miami had, I know you know this, but that Dorsey group, I mean, they had ridiculous talent.
Well, that was in a whole
other offensive level. Line was the best O-line in the country. You know, they had Andre Johnson, who was the most talented receiver in the country. They had more running backs than anybody's probably ever had at one time. So it was just different, right? But it's been really underwhelming for a long time. So I'm curious to see, like, to me, this is a much more interesting team than the one that was, you know, turnover chain fame that, like, just absolutely, you know, hammered Notre Dame, I guess it was 3 years ago.
Yeah, there was a bit of smoke and mirrors to that team.
Yeah, they were good on defense, and I just think that that was kind of like lightning in a bottle. They just had good energy around them. This is a team that's interesting, at least in terms of what they do offensively.
Now, it's entirely possible that for all we're talking about Miami's offense, I mean, Clemson's offense is still Clemson's offense. It's entirely possible that Trevor Lawrence and Travis Etienne will just come out and shred them. I fully concede that, but I don't think so. I think it's going to be a close game right down to the wire. I think that Clemson is still you know, you always just expect them to reload on defense under Brent Venables, but I think that this unit, this year's defense is still unproven. People have made a big deal out of Virginia's new quarterback, Brennan Armstrong, having some success last week, but that game was never really... It's not like that game was a close game. I'm going to pick Clemson to win by something in the single digits.
Something in the single digits. Okay. That's, you know, if that's what it is, then I think if you're a Miami fan, you're probably feeling pretty decent at the outcome.
As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10. Place your first bet on any game and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
So now that we all picked, we picked the four favorites in all of these games, which one, now let's say, which one is actually the most likely to be an upset?
That's a good question, because I think of those four teams, you know, like Texas A&M, to me, Kellen Mond is good. I have more confidence in Kellen Mond than I do in Guarantano, especially Mond's at home, Guarantano's on the road. You know, Guarantano's going up against a much better defense. And I'm just trying to think of, you know, Texas OU to me is not an upset game. Like, we should just throw that out.
True.
Right.
Of the other
so
three.
So we're talking about the other three. I'm going to say Texas A&M. because they're the home team. They're the home team with a really experienced quarterback, and I feel like they're going up against the team that has the weakest like half, meaning like Clemson, I think, is really good on both sides of the ball. I think Georgia, you know, I don't know. I'm going to say Texas A&M.
And I'm going to agree on that too. Do you think home road matters that much this year? I mean, Texas A&M will have fans in the stands, but it's not going to be rocking 100,000 people.
I do think home road matters because of the logistical part of traveling and all that goes with it. So I do think it matters. Does it matter as much? Probably not, but I still think it matters, especially when you're talking about, you know, college players and trying to find some sense of normalcy and all the distractions that go into it. I think that does matter.
After the last weekend of September, the first week the SEC came back, home teams were winning at the lowest rate in many years. And but then last week, actually, home teams did quite well. And, you know, the Oklahoma-Iowa State atmosphere, at least on TV, you wouldn't have known that it wasn't a full stadium. Georgia, I think that place was pretty rocking. So it'll be interesting to track that going forward. One last thing, as we were talking about the Miami potent offenses, I started clicking through past years. And I had to do a double take. In 2013, Miami ranked 11th in the country in total offense. So I looked it up. Off the top of your head, do you know who the quarterback was that year?
In 2013?
Yeah. This was an Al Golden team that went 9-4.
Was that Jed Fish's Aussie offensive coordinator?
Whew, I don't know.
I think there was a year where they definitely got better and they were pretty good. I just don't know if Fish was there in 2012 or 2013. So you're saying it was 2013.
Fish was definitely there on Al Golden's original staff in 2011. No, I think he was gone by here.
He was not there on the original staff, though. He came in.
Time out. I actually went down there to do a story when Golden was hired, and he was definitely there.
He was. I don't think he was.
Because I sat in his office.
Huh. Let me see. So Golden's first year was 2011 then, right? Mm-hmm. Okay, then you're probably right. Okay.
I'm guessing he wasn't there in 2013, but the thing I'm looking at doesn't list their coaching staff. Anyway.
No.
You want to take a guess at the quarterback?
Stephen Morris. Yeah. Stephen Morris was talented. He had a really strong arm.
So the number 11 offense in the country featured a quarterback who completed 57.6% of his passes for 3,000 yards, 21 TDs, and 12 INTs. The reason this offense was so good, Duke Johnson.
Yeah, Duke Johnson was a big time back.
He was really versatile. When he was healthy, he was big time, no question about it. But I think could be wrong. It's early, but I think this offense is just more because of De'Aaron King, because of Brevin Jordan, just much more dangerous than.
I just think it's also the system that they run that fits De'Aaron King. I don't think if you put De'Aaron King back at Miami and 2013, what they were running, I'm not sure it would have been the same thing.
All right. Well, look, we're trying different formats with this second episode of the week. We've had guests on. Today we're doing picks. Maybe you could email us at theaudiblepod@gmail.com. Tell us what you prefer. Tell us what kind of episode you're looking for on these ones that are come out on Wednesdays or Thursdays. And enjoy the games this weekend. It is going to be, I've looked at the TV schedule. You are going to be working the remote on Saturday. We'll see you next time.